Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Ayin Tes in Meseches Shabbos. It is the 141st daf in Shas. We pick up Ayin Ches Amud Beis, approximately 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara is going to be discussing Halachos of Shtaros. This is Meseches Shabbos. However, we're going to get involved with some Halachos of Shtaros, about documents that one needs to pay. A shtar chov is a document that says that Reuven owes Shimon money. And it comes up in Hilchos Shabbos because the halacha would change in the status of the shtar, would affect the status of carrying it out on Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan, Motzi shtar chov. If someone took out a shtar chov into the Rishus HaRabim, ad shaloch paru, if it's hasn't been paid yet, chayiv, then he's chayiv. It's considered hotzah. Misha paru, pater. But if it's been paid, then he is exempt. What's the difference between the two? We will see later on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, misha paru chayiv, mipnei shetzarech lo. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv because you even want the shtar that says that it's been paid. We're going to see a moment in the Gemara that the reason why he needs it is he no longer needs it as a shtar, but in those days they would use used paper again. They would recycle, a source for recycling, by using the paper to close up a bottle. So Rabbanan say it's us say that it's not significant. You're going to be potter when it's paro because he doesn't need it. While Rabbi Yehuda says you can recycle it. What's the machlokus? Whether you're supposed to recycle or not? No, everybody agrees you're supposed to recycle. My benai, what's the machlokus between them? Amar Rav Yosef, also lisho shtar perua, iko benai. The machlokus is whether you are allowed to hold on to a shtar that is paid. Rashi explains on the first wide line, that the pasuk in Iyov says, "As tishkon ba'olecha avla," that you shouldn't have in your tent, in your home, anything that is wrong. And a shtar perua is wrong, a paid shtar. Why? Because if you, the malva, hold on to a shtar perua, then it could, God forbid, be used again to collect from the lova, from the borrower, in an unfair manner. Hence, the Rabbanan hold also lishos shtar perua. Hence, the shtar itself is not supposed to be used. Hence, the shtar, you're not going to be chayiv for it if you carry it out on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda savar mutar lishos shtar perua. And Rabbi Yehuda holds it's permissible to hold on to a shtar perua. He does not have this iser of al tishkon ba'olecha avla in regards to a shtar that is paid. Abaye Omar, Dekula Alma Osalisho Shtar Perua. Abaye says, that can't be the Machloikis, because everybody holds that a Shtar Perua is in violation of Al Tishkon Ba'olecha Avla, that if you don't tear up the Shtar that has already been paid for. Vahacha, but here there's a different Machloikis. B'moydi B'shtar Shekosvoi Shetzarech L'kaimoi Kamiflugi. This is a fascinating sugya in Bav Metzia Dav Zayin and Ksubis Daf Yud Tesamid Aleph, and that is Reuven is moda to Shimon that he owes him money, in the sense that he's moda that he wrote this shtar. Do you need to verify the shtar? Kium shtaros means that a shtar has been verified by Beis Din as not being counterfeit and having valid eidim. Now, do you need to do kium shtaros if the love is mode that he was mechayiv himself in the shtar? So that's machlokas. Tanakama savar, mode b'shar shekosvo tzarech l'kaimo. The Rabbana and the Tanakama hold that it requires kiyum. V'Rabbi Yehuda savar, mode b'shar shekosvo ein tzarech l'kaimo. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Now, how does that fit back into the words of the Braisa? The Braisa had said, ad shelo paru versus misha paru. That misha paru, the halacha is that's not considered significant. Umay ad shelo paru. When do we say that you're chayiv? Umisha paru. And what does it mean when it was paid? Ad sheyomer lo ve parati ve lo parati. This is an expression And that is, as Rashi explains on the top wide line, until a person says, I paid, then we presume he didn't, if there's a shtar. However, once a person says, I paid, he's going to be potter. Achi Omar Lova Parati, until a Lova says, Parati, it's as if he admitted lo parati, that he didn't pay. Therefore, the Tanakhama says that the moment that the Lova says, parati, so in such a case, the shtar has no significance. And therefore, the malva would not be chayiv if he takes it out. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees that even if he says parati, as long as there's a shtar, so then the malva is going to be able to collect with that shtar, and therefore, one who carries out that shtar is carrying out something that's chashuv. Everybody agrees that a shtar that's written, even if the lova admits that he's chayiv, requires kiyum shtaros. And here the machlokis revolves around whether there's a receipt that needs to be written. And therefore, the machlokis does not revolve around the previous explanations, but rather whether they're kosev or receipt. What's that machlokas? Tanakama savar kosevin shoiver. Tanakama holds a receipt is written. Rabbi Yehuda savar in kosevin shoiver. Rabbi Yehuda holds a receipt is not written. What does that have to do with whether you're allowed to carry out the shtar, chov? Everything. What's everything? According to Tanakama, that says that there's a requirement to have a receipt written for the lova has no use for the shtar and doesn't need to hold on to the shtar to make sure that the malva is not going to collect another time or destroy the shtar. Why? Because he has a receipt. Once he has a receipt, even if the malva is going to pull out the shtar again, the receipt, the shover, is going to break the shtar. That's why the word shover is used, to break the shtar. If I have a receipt, it breaks the shtar. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a shover is not written. And therefore, the lova really wants to get that shtar back. According to many opinions, if ain kos and shover, then there's a requirement for the malva to give the shtar to the lova or destroy it in front of him. And because the shtar has significance to the lova, that he wants to get his hands on it, either to destroy or to hold on to it, so the malva won't collect another time, it has chashivos. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that if you carry out the shtar chov, you're going to be chayiv. However, according to Tanakama, it's a piece of junk, because there's already a receipt. Ravashi Omar, this by the way, Rashi in the second pshat, in Dibur Maskil L'Hacha, way down into Rashi, is the way Rashi explains it. See the second pshat. Rashi goes with the first pshat that he ultimately changes due to the our gears of our Gemara. Ravashi Amar Pnei Shetzarech Laharosa Lebal Chov Sheni. Ravashi says that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be chayiv because you carry it out, he's talking about a lova. A lova that wants to show this shtar to somebody else. Why would a lova want to show that he once borrowed money? Because he wants to show that people trust him. Look, Morgan and Stanley lended me money, so certainly you should lend me money. I have a good credit rating. These top banks trust me, so certainly you should trust me as well. Mipnei shetzarech laharos lebal chov sheni. Da'amalei chazi gavra de para nasi. It's Morgan Stanley that lent me money. Let's go back to our Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, going to Ayin Ches on the base. The Mishnah also taught us, or that when it comes to hide, the shear of hide is kedei lasos kmiya, the amount necessary to make an amulet, as described two lines from the top in the Mishnah. Boiminei Rav Meir of Nachman, hamotzi or bekama, how much for leather is significant to be chayv anotza. I'm like, it is not. He said, well, it's our Mishnah. Our las is kamiya. I'm a avdo bekama. What about someone who's working the hide, which is the Yisra Ma'amid? Amarle said to him, lo shna. So the Gemara says that the shear for both the making of the hide as well as the Isser of Hotzah is going to be exactly the same. The way hides was made is that they used to add salt to the hide. La'abdoi bekama. What happens if the hide is not yet been made? It hasn't been salted. Is it the same shear? Amalei loshna. There isn't a difference in the shear. Umenot tamer. And how do I know this? Kedisnat, as we learn later on in a Mishnah on Kufei Amabez. Hamelabim. Someone who cleans out the hide. Vamenafetz is... They remove the impurities. Vahatsoveya, you die. Vahatava, to spin. Shiure, kemale rochav hasit. Kuffel. Rochav hasit, as described in the Mishnah later on, is the distance between the index finger and the middle finger, stretched out furthest possible. Kuffel, doubled. So that's a shear. Vahorich techitim, someone who weaves two threads together. Shiure, kemale rochav hasit. The distance between the two fingers, many take out the word kafel. Alma, kivin de latvia koi, shiure kitavi. We see from there that when it comes to measuring the preparation of the wool, we, even though it's not yet ready to reach the stage of tvia, of spinning, nevertheless, we give it the ultimate expression of being spun, and that is, the significance of being spun is kamali rachav hasit kafel. So too, even though it hasn't reached the stage by ibud, we give it its ultimate stage of what it's going to be later on. Hachinami kivin la'abdo kai shiura kim ubid. We give it the shear as if it was already worked out, refined. Vishalola abdo bekama. But what happens if it's hide that's not supposed to be refined? It can't be refined. Amale loshna. There's no difference. It's the same shear. Veloshna ni be mu'ubid le esheinu mu'ubid. Is there no difference between ubid and einu mu'ubid? Esve, I'll ask you the following question. Hamotzi samonin shruyin kedelitz bo behen. If a person carries out the samanim that were used for dyeing, to use to dye specifically dugma, an example, but not the entire beged, let's say, li'ira, that's the amount of wool that's needed to cover the top of a rod. That's the shear. Ve'ilu b'samanim she'enon shruyin, but when it comes to spices and dyes that are not soaked in water, tnan, we learned a different shear. Klipe egozim klipe ermonim, satis upua, kide litzboa ben beged katan. There the shear that's used is the amount to dye for a small garment, lefi sivacha, that's used, that women use to put on their heads. What's a kasha? The kasha is that the shear for litzboa dugma li'ira is a smaller shear than the shear of a beged katan. And therefore, it depends on what your intention is, how you're going to use it. So too, when it comes to the hide, it should make a difference whether the or is been mu'ubad or whether it's not mu'ubad. When the or is not mu'ubad, it's not been refined yet, the shear should be larger. Answers the Gemara, Itmar La, we learned in this regard, Amar of Nachman, Amar of Baravua, Fisha Einon Tarech, Lishros, Samonim, Litzboa Behen, Dugma, Li'ira. People don't soak dye in order to use it as an example for the ira, for the top of the kana. Hence, there isn't a legitimate shear that's that small. Asks the Gemara, Vare, Zarone gina de mikme de zarinu. However, when it comes to seeds of the garden before they're planted, now we learned in a Mishnah on Sadium and Aleph, Zarone gina pachos mika grogris. The shear is less than a grogris. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, chamisha. It's five. Five seeds, which are less than a grogris, you're going to be chayef for hotza. Vilu basar de zarinu. And yet, after it's been planted, Tnan, we learned.
Yet after the Zriya, the halacha changes. And when it comes to being Motzi Zevel, the fertilizer, then the shear is different. Tnan Zevel v'chol adok k'del zabel bo kelach shel kruv. Deri Rebbe Akiva, the Chamer even have a lenient shear, v'chomram k'del zabel krisha.
Even the amount of fertilizer for a small part of the cabbage. What we see from here is that the significance of the zera changes based on over time. So too, there should be a difference if we're talking about a hide that is already mu'ubad versus a hide that has not been finished yet and cannot be finished. Gemara answers, Ha'itma Allah Mara Papa Hadizriya Hadalo Zriya. The reason why there's a difference between before and after Zriya. Fisha Ein Adam Tareach Lahotzi Nima Achas Lizriya. Because a person is not matriach to take out one seed for planting. So therefore, it's not significant for that particular reason. Asks Gemara Varetit, when it comes to lime, the mikmei delegable, that before it is mixed, Tanya, modem chom nor b'shimen, b'motzi shovchon n'rushus haram, sheshiuram b'revias, that the shear is a revias. Vavinam, but we asked, shovchon l'may chazu, in what's the purpose of this lime? Va'amar Rabbi Yirmiya taught, legable b'enasatit, the amount that's necessary to mix the lime. Vilu baser de gable tanya, but afterwards we learned tit kide lasus ben pikur, that the lime that's necessary is the amount to close a hole in an oven. And this shear is smaller than the amount that we said of tit she'eno mugbal, which we said was a revius. In other words, a amount of lime that would be mixed with a revius of water, which is much more than tit lasos mehen pikur. So what do we see? It changes based on context. The changes, whether it's been mixed or it hasn't been mixed. So too, maybe the hide should be dependent on whether it's been turned into hide yet or not. So Gemara says, no, hasanam kidamar and lefishen on the tareach legabel satit, lasas bo pikor. There the halacha changes when it comes to the lime, because a person doesn't mix lime specifically to have it to stop in oven. However, in contrast to the hide, so then the shear could be uniformed, whether it's mu'ubad, whether it's not. Tashma, come here, I'll bring you a proof. Damar b'chia barami mishmei de'ula. Shlosha oros hein. There are three different types of hides. And they are, in the halacha, we differentiate between these three types. One's called matzah, v'chipa, v'diftara. What is matzah? Matzah kimashmo. The word matzah is, as it indicates, that it's simple, delo meliach, that it hasn't been salted yet, udelo kamiach, and it hasn't had flour added to it, udelo ofitz, and it doesn't have any chemicals or enzymes that were added to it to strengthen it. V'kam ishiura, and what is it? Shir tanur of Shmuel bar of Yehuda, k'dei lotzer bo pi mishkoles k'tano. That the shir is the amount to cover up. It was used to cover weights, so the weights would not be worn out. And this is the smallest shear of the or of a matzah. Mishkolis is a weight. V'kam, and how much is that? Omar Abaya, riva de riva de pumpadisa. A quarter of a liter of pumpadisa. Chipa, which is de maliach, the hide that's already been salted. Velo kamiach, but flour hasn't been added to it. Velo va'ofitz, and the different enzymes and juices haven't been added to it. V'kamish yur, and how much is it? Kisnan, ark de lasos kmiya. That's what we learned in our Mishnah, the amount to make an amulet. Diftara, that's a different type of hide that's already been much more processed. Dimaliach, it's been salted. Vikamiach, flour has been added. Velo ofitz, but didn't have the other preservatives. Vikamash yurek, de lichtov alavas haget. Parchment that was used to write a get. For a get, one does not need to add the enzymes of ofitz. If I'm not mistaken, for a Sefer Torah, Ofutz needs to be added. Ketani miyas kedei lotzer bo mishkolz ketana. Now we learned that the most simple form of hide is the amount that's used to cover a small weight. Vam rabbi revia de revia de pumbadisa. So what do we see from there? We see from there that the shear of something that hasn't been developed, hasn't been worked, if it's not mu'umad, then it's less if it is mu'ubad, and more if it's not, because the shear over here was the amount that's necessary to cover the weight, which was a quarter of the liter, which is more than the shear of making a kamiya. Answers the Gemara, Hasam bibishulo. There we're talking about where it's moist. And therefore the shear is going to be different. Rashi explains three lines from the bottom. There it's not chazi li'ibud. And since it's not chazi li'ibud, it has a totally different shear. However, when it is chazi li'ibud, then it will be the same shear as an ar that's mu'ubad. Asks the Gemara v'atanam, but didn't we learn in the Mishnah, habeged shloish al shloish lemedras, that when it comes to a garment, it's three for the shear of contracting tumah. It's 3x3 tfachim for medras, hasak dalet al dalet, sack is 4x4, ha'ar hey al hey, meifats, that is a type of reeds, is vav al vav, bein le medras, bein le mace. It's the same shear, whether we're talking about tumas medras or tumas mace. Vitani Allah, and we learned about this, habegat vasak v'ar kishir l'tuma, kach shiur lo'otza, that it has the exact same shear. So what do we see? That when it comes to mu'ubad, which is the case of R in that Mishnah in Kalin and Perichav Zayin, the shear is 5x5 tvachim. And the shear for Tumah is the same shear of Hotza'ah, which is not the same shear of Kedelasos of Kmiya. So we see the R in the Mishnah in Kalin, which is R Shenim Ubid, has a different shear. And that is Chamisha Tvachim, in contrast to the R Yavesh of a kamiya, there it's going to be less. Answers the Gemara, Ahu bikurtuvla, that this shear that we learned, that's 5x5 tfachim, is talking about a hide that has been already boiled in hot water to sit on or to use as a mat or to cover a table. And it's only designed for these purposes. If it's only designed for these purposes, so then the smallest usage that one would have of it is 5x5 tfachim. Hence, the halacha is the only time that you're going to be chayiv is if it's 5x5. In contrast to those things that were not specifically designed for those purposes, then the shear could very well be smaller, as we saw, kedei lotzer bal mishkolz ketana, or riva deriva, or lasos kmiya, depending on how it's made. We continue on Ayin Tes Amud Beis, where we go back to our Mishnah that said, klaf, that if it's already parchment, kedei lichtov la parsha ketana, in order to be able to write a small parsha. Ureminu, I'll ask you the following question. Klaf uduchstasus, kedei lichtov la mezuzah, not a parsha ketana, but a mezuzah. Now, what's written in mezuzah? Rashi helps us out if we forgot. Shema v'ayim shemoa. So, if that's what's written, that's larger than the smallest parsha. Vayhi ben saya aron. In parshas Baaloscha is the smallest parsha. My mezuzah, mezuzah shebetfilin. No, what it means when it says mezuzah is not the whole mezuzah, but rather the parsha that we have in common in the mezuzah and the tefillin. And what is that? That is the parsha of Shema. V'karilu tefillin mezuzah? And we call tefillin a mezuzah? In v'atanya ritzuas tefillin, imat tefillin, mitamas ha'siyadayim b'fnei atzmon. Yes, we do see in a brisa that the parsha of tefillin is referred to as mezuzah. As the Braisa says, ritzuos tefillin with the tefillin are metame the hands. This we've discussed in the past, the Chazal were misakin that kisvei kodesh are metame es yadayim because they were putting the kisvei kodesh and hiding it next to truma, and the mice were coming to eat the kisvei kodesh bifnei atzman, but if the ritzuos are by themselves, ein metamis yadayim, they're not metam in the hands. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, hanogeh beritzuatar ad sheyegia bekatzitza, that if you touch the ritzuos, then you won't be metame. However, if you touch the part of the ktsitsa by the batim, that's the base of the bayis, in such a case, then you become tame. Rabbi Zakai Mishmai Omer, tar ad sheyegia mezuzah atzma. You're tar until you touch the mezuzah. What's the mezuzah? The parasha. What do we see? We see that the parashas are referred to as the mezuzah. Asks the Gemara after the solid raya, v'hamidik tani seifa, what about the seifa? We learned, klav kidei lichtov lo parasha ketana, shebetfilin shehi shema Yisrael. The next line states what we just used to explain the Reisha. It must be that the Seifa is talking about Shema. But Mechlal, the Reisha, Mezuzah Atzma Tzkinan. We see that the Reisha is talking about the Mezuzah. In other words, there's no way you could explain the Reisha as referring to the first Parsha, because that's the next line of the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara Hachiktani. This is how it should read. Klaf uduchstus shi ura mikama. Duchstus, that's the type of type of parchment. If we're talking about the duchstus, so then it's the amount of a mezuzah, a real mezuzah, shema and hayim shemaya. Klaf, if we're talking about the parchment, k'dei lichtov la parsha ketana shebetfilin shu shema Yisrael, then we're talking about the amount of the parsha shema Yisrael. Tosis spells out that the difference of between a klaf and a duchstus is, as Tos says on the third line from the top, is that the area of the parchment that's towards the upper part of the hide, in other words, where the animal's hair was growing out, that's called the klaf. The side towards the meat, that's called the duchstus. That background is also important for the next part of the Gemara. Amar Rav, duchstus hareu keklaf. The duchstus, which is pointing towards is the area that was in contact with the flesh. Is like a klaf. My klaf kosen lof tefillin, af duchstus kosen lof tefillin. You're allowed to write the tefillin on duchstus as well. Tanan, klaf kedei lichtov parasha ketana shebetefillin. What's the shear we learned in our Mishnah? Parasha shebetefillin tefillin shi shema Yisrael. Asks the Gemara, wait a second. You could also write parasha ketana on a duchstus. So why is it not the same shear? Klaf in, duchstus lo? Is there a difference between the two? Answers the Gemara. Le mitzvah. For the mitzvah, you're supposed to use the klaf. What does that mean? I thought you're allowed to use the duchstus as well. So Rashi explains, it means mitzvah min hamufchar. The mitzvah min hamufchar klaf b'inan. Says Rashi. Let's see that Rashi inside. Ustam de kolinish mitzvah ma'al yisavid. And most people do the ideal mitzvah. Hilkach lo matzneya. Duchstus l'tfilin. People don't set aside the duchstus for tefillin. V'havilei ein matzniu kamoi. Remember, we're discussing the shear of Otsa b'Shabbos, which we already learned is the shear of matznian, how much people would hide, as we learned on Ayin Hei Amabez in the end of Perek Klal Godo. Since l'chatchila one is not supposed to use duchstus, then the shear of the duchstus is not going to be the amount for tefillin. Rather, the shear is going to be for mezuzah. Tashma Kamini, I bring you a proof. Halacha Moshe Misinai, tefillin ala klaf or mezuzah al duchstus. We learn that there's halacha Moshe Misinai for the tefillin to be written on the klaf and the mezuzah on the duchstus. Klaf b'makom basar, v'duchstus b'makom seyar. The duchstus is the area where the Gemara challenges Rav from a different direction. Tashma Kamini, we learned in a brisa, halacha l'moshe misinai tefillin ala klaf u mezuzah ala duchstus. The halacha l'moshe misinai is that the tefillin is written on the klaf and mezuzah on the duchstus. That seems to be against Rav, who said that the duchstus is a klaf. And just like you could write on the tefillin with a klaf, so too you could write on the duchstus for tefillin. That's what seemed according to Rav. However, this brisa seems to be against that. Before the Gemara addresses that, the brisa continues on and explains to us what is the exactly the klaf and what is a duchstus, which complements with an e what we had seen in Tosos. Klaf b'makom basar, the klaf was the upper part of the hide, but you would write on the part that was closer to the meat. In other words, the hide, if you will, had two parts. The outer part of the hide was called the klaf. That area of the klaf, the upper part of the hide that was separated from the lower part, which is a duchstus, the best part to write on is the area where it was cut. So in the upper hide, you write in the area, makom basar means the area of it that's closer to the basar. Now, it wasn't on the basar, because that's where the duchstus rested, which was the lower part of the hide. Duchstus, when it comes to this duchstus, which is the lower part of the hide, it's not the top of the animal where the fur or the feathers grow out. Rather, it's the lower part. But makom seir, but the best place to write is the upper part of the lower hide, where it was cut from the klaf. Now, the reason we're quoting this is not because we want to discuss exactly where klaf and duchstus you're supposed to write, but rather as we see that duchstus is used for mezuzah, not for tefillin, against Rav. Answers the Gemara, l'mitzvah. It was only talking about the mitzvah min ha-mufchar, but b'di'eved, tefillin would be kosher on duchstus as well. Asks the Gemara, v'atanya, but then we learn in Braisa, shina pasul, that if you change, the halacha is that it's going to be pasul. Answers the Gemara, a mezuzah, that when it comes to mezuzah, that if you write the mezuzah on a klaf, it's going to be pasul. However, b'di'eved, if you write on a tefillin, the tefillin on the duchstus, b'di'eved, it's going to be kosher. Asks the Gemara, v'atanya shina b'zeh b'zeh pasul. Didn't we learn it's pasul in both? Answers the Gemara, edivi a mezuzah. Both are talking about mezuzah. The original Braisa is talking about mezuzah when it says shina bezel bezeh is posel. That's both bezel bezeh is mezuzah. What are two different cases of shina by mezuzah? Vahadi kasvinu aklaf b'makum seyar. The first case, the first instance is when you write on the klaf in the place of the seyar, which is not lechatchila. As we saw before, the klaf is supposed to be on the side of the basar. Inami adustus b'makom basar. Or if he writes on dustus in the place of the basar, and as we mentioned before, lechatchila you're supposed to write on the area where the hide was cut apart, which is the best writing. V'iba is saying, if you want, I can give another tarot. Shina bazeh ubazeh tanoihi. That's dependent on the machlokis. Tanoim. In other words, there are some who say that if you use Oduchstis for tefillin, it's also going to be possible. The Sanya, and as you see in the Eid Mishpat, we passing like this, Shina Bazeh Ubazeh possible, that if you use Klaf for Mezuzah, it's possible. If you learn use Duchstis for tefillin, it's also possible. Rabbi Acha Machshir, Rabbi Acha says it's kosher. Mishum Rabbi Achi Bar Chanina. In the name of Rabbi Achi Bar Chanina. V'amri lo, mishum Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chanina. And some say he said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chanina. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa explained, Rav da Omar kitana devei Menashe. Rav follows the opinion of Tana devei Menashe when Rav says that duchstus is like a klaf, who says, kosval niyar valamatos psula, that to write on paper or on some type of gauze is possible. Ala klav ala vilva duchstis ksheira. But if it's written, tefillin are written, all these above things, it's kosher. As we flesh out now. Kosva mai. What are we talking about? Ilema mezuzah. It can't be talking about mezuzah. Mezuzah klav mikas finu. We just got through saying that mezuzah can't be written on klav. El alav le tefillin. Must be that we're talking tefillin. The Gemara doesn't accept that three lines before the void. Are you going to say that tefillin could be written on gvil? Gvil is the most advanced form of parchment. Gvil even has the chemicals, the afatsim, that are put onto them as well, the preservatives. Now, the Gemara's kasha is not, can you write it halachically? You most definitely can. It's the most mahudar. However, do people do it? People don't right tefillin where it's afotzim. Eloki tanya ahi b'sefer Torah. Rather, that brisa is talking about Sefer Torah, and since it's talking about Sefer Torah, it's not going to help us in terms of defending Rav. The Gemara now continues, Lema Misayele, we put a period after B'Sefer Torah, last narrow line on Ayin Tesema Beis, we bring a Raya to Rav who says that Tefillin could be written both with Klaf and out of Duchstus. Lema Misayele, Kayotze Bo Tefillin Shebola V'Sefer Torah Shebola Ein Osa Mihem Mezuzah. If Chas V'Chalila, Tefillin gets worn out, and part of the Parshas, other Parshas have been worn out, or say for Torah, the other parshios have been worn out, you're not allowed to take the psukim over there of Shema, Vahayim Shemoa, and turn it into a mezuzah. Lefi Sheim Erid Mekedusha Chamura LeKedusha Kala. Because you can't lower the Kedusha Chamura of Sefer Torah to mezuzah. The Gemara is medayik. Time of day meridin. Ha meridin osin. But if not the problem of malim bekodesh ve'ei meridin, then the halacha would be that one could do it. Now let's analyze. Dichsiva amai. What was it written on? Lav dichsiva aduchstus. It must be that it was written on duchstus, and therefore you want to use it, be able to use it for tefillin. For mezuzah, excuse me. So what do we see? We see that you had a tefillin that was written on duchstus, and so we see there is no objection to having a tefillin written on duchstus. The Gemara didn't say it was a problem. The Gemara said you even discussed whether you'd be able, the Braisa discussed whether you'd be able to lower it to mezuzah. Mashma, that for tefillin it was acceptable. Says the Gemara, no, dechsivna al haklaf. It was written on klaf. It wasn't written on dustus. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? Mezuzah klaf mikasvina? Could you write mezuzah on klaf? Vatanya, didn't we learn? Kasu ala klaf, ala niyar, ala matos, psula. In regards to mezuzah, you could only write it on dustus, not on klaf. On Reb Shimon Elazar, Reb Meir, haya, kasu ala klaf. Reb Meir did write on klaf. Minei shemishta meres, because it would last better. Says the Gemara, and if you're going to say that, hashtad asis lahachi, now that we're going to say that Rabbi Meir wrote mezuzah on klaf, the Rav Nami, according to Rav 2, lo tema duchstis hareyu keklaf. Don't say duchstis slide a klaf, ela ema klaf hareyu keduchstis. But rather, Rav was saying something very, very different. That a klaf works like a duchstis. Ma duchstis kosin ala mezuzah, af klaf kosin ala mezuzah. So too, a klaf could be used for mezuzah, and we reject the notion that the only thing that could be used for a mezuzah is a duchstus, and that's all Rav was saying. Rav was not saying wherever you are able to use a klaf, like for tefillin, you automatically could use duchstus as well. Rather, he was teaching in the other direction. When it comes to mezuzah, where duchstus is kosher, you could also use a klaf for mezuzah as well. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the pshat in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Tes from our Daf Yomi, and now we go to the halacha section.